Hey everyone, thanks so much for tuning in to the very first episode of season 2. We just wanted to give you a quick heads up that as you're listening to this podcast, somewhere towards the middle, there will be a small glitch. And unfortunately, we were not able to fix that in the mixing process. But thank you for listening. Thank you for being patient. And welcome to Sarah Reeves Part 1. Hey everybody, welcome back to our Women in Worship podcast. This is Lee here, and today we have
Bethany,
who we usually have, and we also have
Elise.
I'm back, guys.
And she's back. Guys, we can't get rid of her.
We never will. I'm just kidding. No. We love you.
You can't get rid of me, though.
But today, we have a very special guest with us. We're so honored that Sarah Reeves is in the house with us.
Yes.
Yeah.
Thanks for joining.
Thank you.
I need an applause thing right here.
Insert soundbite.
Yeah, so thanks for taking the time with us.
Of course.
Hanging out with us. We're in Nash, Vegas today, hanging out at Elise's amazing apartment complex in this amazing room. I wish you all could see it. We're going to have pictures posted, so you can.
Yes.
Because as women, we like to see all the details.
Yeah, keeping it real. We're just keeping it real.
Keeping it real. All right, well, let's get started. Like I said, thanks for hanging out with us. And we love watching you and following you on Instagram and your stories. You know, thankful for Instagram.
Yeah.
In one way.
Some days.
Yeah. Let's talk about the good part.
Yeah. Yeah.
That we can follow you and see what you're doing in music and all that stuff. But yeah, so we wanted to have you on because we think you have such an amazing platform. And all these gals listening that really want to do what you're doing and how much wisdom you can bring to the table. Mm-hmm. I mean, I know you're still young, but man, you weathered probably a few storms to get there.
Yes.
And we all said amen.
Yes.
Yeah, so we're just to get started. We want you to tell the listeners a little bit maybe about yourself, maybe where you're from or how. Just tell us how this whole story of where you are now, like how it came about. Was there like a God moment or anything like that? So musical family, it just... Tell us
basically
all the
my life story.
Yeah. Tell us all the goodies.
How long do we have?
Well, let's go. I'm starting the timer now.
Okay, perfect. Yeah, so I'm originally from Alabama.
Woo-hoo! Yes, you are.
Roll Tide.
Roll Tide. I grew up in North Alabama, and I have three siblings, and my parents are, my mom's a nurse, but my dad is a musician, and all of my siblings are musical. And so I just kind of grew up in music my entire life. Like, I remember asking for a Barbie car for Christmas when I was, like, 8 or something. And instead of a Barbie car, my parents got me a keyboard. And then the next year, I, like, wanted something else. And they're like, here's a karaoke machine. And here's a microphone. And here's, like, CDs and all these. My dad took me to my first concert when I was 12. And it was Rebecca St. James. And that's like the moment. Like, I remember sitting in the back of the auditorium, and my dad just like put me up on the chair in front of us because I was so short and I couldn't see. And I just remember watching her, and in that moment I was like, I want to do that for a living. Like, that's what I want to do.
Yeah.
She was just like super inspiring, and and so I just naturally fell into it. And I always grew up in the church, and my dad was like the song leader of our little country church in Alabama, and I started playing piano behind him and like singing harmonies, and then eventually I started leading at my like youth group when I was 15. And I remember always being just like super shy. Like, I could sing in front of people, but when it turned into like talking, I was like, I'm not gonna say anything.
Right.
This is too nerve-wracking. Yeah. Like, I don't wanna speak in front of these people. So I would just always sing. Into the song, next song, okay. And then eventually I remember my youth pastor just being like, you're gonna have to like lead this one and like really usher these people into presence of God. And I was like, all right, well, I'll say a prayer or something. Here we go. And it was just like, I just started like leading, I guess, there. And eventually that turned into a band that I like kind of formed with like my youth group band, and then that became a thing. And Elisa's now husband was my drummer, one of my first drummers. And we would just like travel. And I remember being at this festival and I met Plum. Do you remember Plum?
Mm-hmm. Oh, Bethany. Yeah. Don't fall out of your chair.
Do you remember?
She still loves Plum.
Oh, yeah. She's still a thing. We love you, Tiffany. She is still a thing.
Still a thing.
Yeah.
We follow you on Instagram.
Yeah, I love her. She was like headlining this festival, mm-hmm. and we were like the first local band, so no one was really there for us, but we stuck around. We stuck around. I was 17 at this time, and at the very end of the night, my dad like nudged me over to her. They were like literally getting in their van to go home, and he's like, go over there and give her a copy of your CD. And I was like, I don't want to, I'm too shy. And he's like, just do it. And so I was like, wait, Plum. Like, here's a copy of my CD. You don't have to listen to it. My dad wants me to give it to you. She's like, you know what? I'm going to listen to it. And the next day, this is turning into a very long story.
No, I love it. We want all the details. Keep going. I'm sitting back.
The next day, she calls my house. Like, our house number is on the CD, the back of our CD. And anyways, long story short, she like talks to my parents and she's just like, I listened to the CD and I've never done this before, but I really felt like I want to meet you and I want Sarah to come up to Nashville and we just want to like help her.
That's awesome.
So I ended up doing that and just kind of back and forth from Alabama to Nashville, and she literally introduced me to all of the record labels and the publishers and the managers and the booking agents, and she's just like, here's all the meetings, take your pick. And I was like, this is crazy, you know, I had just graduated from high school and going into this like my dream world, right. And I go, I'm like on tour, I end up signing with Sparrow Records when I was 18, and I tour for like 3 years. And everything's going great. I think I'm like this rock star. I'm like ego driven. Like my head is turning into a big giant hot air balloon. And I think that's eventually when God was like, okay, it's time to get humbled, you know? And so I ended up, I got married when I was 22. Oh no, yes, 22. And my husband and I just had a really hard first couple of years of marriage, and at the time I just kind of, my label, I think something was happening with my label, and I just felt like we were clashing, and so I went to them thinking like, okay, I'm gonna go into a different record label and get signed, see you later, and it didn't end up happening like that, and so I left this label, and then it was just like I had nothing. So I was like newly married, and then music wasn't happening, and I was just like, now what do I do? You know, like, I didn't go to college. Like, I don't know how to do anything else other than music. Music is my identity. And so I ended up getting a job at this preschool because I'm like, well, I love kids, so I guess I'll work with kids.
Yeah.
And so I go from living my dream to, like, wiping babies' butts every day.
That's one way to be humble.
Yeah. Like 40 hours a week.
Yeah.
Making minimum wage. And yeah, that was consuming my life. And I was like an angry person. And my husband was working a job that he hated. And we would just come home and we would just take it out on each other. And almost got a divorce.
Wow.
And it was just really hard. There were other things that were going on just in our personal life at the time, and it was just a big wake-up call in life. For the first time I was like facing something that was hard, you know. I always had it really good and everything went my way, and now all of a sudden I was just like in this position where I'm like, my marriage is in shambles, like I'm working this job that I hate, everything that I worked for up until this point is gone and stripped away from me, and I just felt like, what are you doing, God? But it was so good because I really felt like God was just getting me into this place where, like, I had to be okay with where, like, who I am as a person and who I was in him, because mm-hmm. my identity for so long was music.
Right.
Yeah.
And so I had to find myself away from that for a right. little while mm-hmm. and learn how to be just a friend, a wife, a daughter, a sister, like who is Sarah, you know? Mm-hmm. And taking care of these toddlers at the same time and just loving on them and,
right.
and I don't know, just like finding the quality of life in just real life experiences, I guess. And
yeah.
And so, do you want me to keep going, or do you?
Yeah,
I'm like, I'm just like going.
We're captivated right now.
I'm like, what's telling. Next?
I feel like I'm like listening to a Hallmark movie, like play out. Like I know the ending.
Yeah, because you were there.
I know. I'm listening.
Elise knows all of this.
I love hearing you tell this.
No, it's so good. It's gonna help somebody.
Yeah,
you know, it
absolutely.
Really is because
yeah.
that you just hit the whole identity
yeah.
issue. I mean,
yeah.
how you're saying God wanted to humble you, but yeah. it was so out of love because he's a father.
Yeah.
You know, and that what's important to him is not having a record label. You know, what's important to him is other people.
Totally.
Yeah.
Like
yeah.
loving other people. And you learn how to do that by taking care of the babies.
Yeah.
yeah.
Who are important to him.
Yeah.
You know what I'm saying? So it's learning to love the things that he loves.
Yeah.
yeah.
Which
totally.
Is turning that
yeah.
heart towards him.
Yeah.
Rather than just a dream or a vision.
Yeah.
You got recentered, you know.
Yeah.
You got foundation.
Totally.
Yeah.
And I just remember, like, every morning I would turn on, do you remember that song, Come to Me by Jen Johnson?
Oh, mm-hmm. yes. Oh, girl.
Every morning, I would open the preschool, so I had to wake up at, like, 5:30 and get there at 6, and I would just drive to work, and I would just listen to that song. And I felt like God was just so close in that season. I know
mm-hmm.
he always is, but, you
yeah.
know, you can just, you feel
yeah.
this extra,
yeah.
like,
yeah.
I know, like, God was in this season. And I remember just being, like, getting to the point where I was, like, you know what? I'm going to, like, make my class, like, the best class. And I'm going to,
oh,
like,
awesome.
You know, there were, like, sounds silly, but there's these, like, door decorations.
Yeah.
You know, and every, like, classroom
yeah.
has their own, like, the teacher does their thing with their door. And
yeah.
have, like, content. I'm like, I'm going to
teachers
go
love
to
those
teacher,
things,
the
too.
The teacher store. And I'm going to get, like, Dr. Seuss. And, like, really make it, like, the best door. And, like, make sure my classroom is, like, clean. And, like, make sure these kids just, like, feel so loved. And, like, they're going to have fun. And then I would do all these, like, activities. And I remember just, like, multiple times people come into my classroom and they're just like, I just feel peace. It shouldn't have felt peaceful because this was like 12 to 18 months.
Yeah.
Right.
Like, and it
right.
was me and
so you knew it was God.
Yeah. It should have been chaos. And it was at times, but for the most part, I really tried my hardest to like really pour everything that I had into these babies, you
yeah.
know, into these toddlers. And I got to a point where I was just like, I loved it, you know?
Yeah.
And I'm like, wow, like, I don't need music right now to
mm-hmm.
fulfill me. And not that a job needs to fulfill
mm-hmm.
anyone, but it was just like, I knew that my heart was in a good place,
yeah.
you know? And that was what was giving me joy
yeah.
in that moment and in that season. And then through all of that, you know, God was just doing a work in our marriage. And gosh, I don't know. I have to, like, really go back in my mind to, like, remember that I haven't talked about this in so long. So, at the time, I'm probably really scattered with this story, but we felt like God, no, it wasn't even, like, I think we just were, like, both just, like, you know what? Yeah. Okay, sorry.
No, you're good.
Our marriage was at a point where
yeah.
we knew we had to choose between, like, life or death. Like,
yeah.
we're either going to make this work
yeah.
or we're not.
Yeah.
And so I think my husband was actually the one that was like, all right, let's take this summer and let's quit our jobs and go away to, we had pastor friends in North Carolina and really felt like we should get counseling and just, like, take some time to ourselves. We had enough money and savings to
yeah.
last us for the summer. And he's just like, we'll figure it out. Like,
mm-hmm.
we'll just come back and we'll figure it out. But
mm-hmm.
right now, what's important is that we get this okay.
Yeah.
And the definition of insanity is just doing the same thing over and over again, expecting
right.
a different result.
Yeah.
And that's what we were doing.
Right.
Yeah.
So we ended up I don't recommend this to everyone.
This we is just took what this
disclaimer.
Leap of faith, and we were just like, you know what? Let's really focus on us and work on each other and get this right. And so we did. We went away. We came back. And this was actually around the time that we, I think, started hanging out again. Because my husband, when we got back, my husband was like, let's put out YouTube covers.
Yeah.
And he's like, I'll build you like this palette wall. We'll make this whole guest bedroom like your
like studio. Like,
yeah, the
like
question is, can we still find those?
Oh yeah.
Oh yeah. All of them are on YouTube.
Sarah wants to delete them so bad.
I
but
do.
They're so good.
I do want to delete them. But I know they still like touch a lot of people, and I still get like comments all, like every day. Comments from cover videos. Right. So I was like, well, you know, obviously I felt this calling for worship, and I know YouTube is still like a big thing, but has always been like a big platform for a lot of people, even globally. Like,
sure.
It's in every single country. And there's a lot of covers on YouTube, but I didn't see like worship covers that were like really good quality.
Right.
And so we decided to kind of do that. And so we would just take like my favorite worship songs, and every single week we would treat it like a full-time job.
Yeah.
We bought this little camera and we had the studio set up, and every week we would put out a cover on YouTube. Mm-hmm. And all of a sudden, and this was like the end of summer, you know, my husband and I had just quit our jobs. It was like 2 months in, now we're doing covers. And all of a sudden, like, I start getting all these responses on YouTube, and people are like, hey, I love your version of this. Like, I would love for you to come to this conference or come to our church, and, like, can you lead worship here? And it would just be, like, every single month, like, these emails would come in as we were doing these YouTube covers, and we would just walk through those doors, and it would just be enough, like, they would pay us, obviously, they would, just enough money to, like, get through the next month,
right.
And then something else would happen, and again, like, we'd go do a conference, and we'd be able to pay our bills, like, the next month, and it just kept going, and that was in 2013, and we haven't looked back since then, and, like, God just continued to open doors, and I ended up, we talked to another label, Word Entertainment, in like 2015. From even that came from the worship covers as well.
Yeah.
And they ended up signing me in 2016. So now I'm with them as an artist, and we found the Belonging around that time, October of 2013.
Yeah.
And which we can talk about that too if you want.
You lead there.
I do lead.
That's your home church.
Belonging. Yeah, I've been there for, gosh, how long has it been? Yeah,
since
2013.
Like, infancy. Like, since tell them how it all started.
Yeah, the first night, there was about 15 people there when I was there. When I came, it started like super tiny. I think it started with like 7 people. But
it was in a home, wasn't it?
So yeah,
Alex
in Franklin.
In their home?
Yeah, Alex and Henry Seeley.
Yes.
They moved from Australia. They helped plant Planet Shakers. If you're familiar with that.
Yep.
And they just. This is also a long story that I'll try to compact. But they basically just felt this call to come to America for no reason. And they would keep getting words and keep getting visions. And long story short, God opened the door for them to come to America. They didn't know why. They're over here. Alex is just kind of like, oh, I'll be an interior designer or whatever. Mm-hmm. And Henry's like songwriting and thinking maybe I'll be a songwriter or mixer or whatever. He already does that. But and so they started going around to, like, different churches in Nashville, and they just kind of never felt like anywhere felt like home for them. Not that any church was, like, bad or whatever.
Right.
It was just, like, they just didn't feel this, like, this is my home, you know? And so they decided to just kind of open up their home on a Tuesday night, because I think they did see the lack of community in Nashville among musicians
right.
and artists
yep.
that travel on the weekends. You know, like most of us are gone on Sundays.
Yep.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And so it's really hard for us to be plugged into a community and a church mm-hmm. when we're all in different directions all over America.
Yep.
Yeah.
It's just like impossible for us to find community. And so they just invited the people that they knew.
Yeah.
And not their intention was for it to not be a church. It was just kind of like a gathering. And
yeah.
like they had Bible study and all this stuff and worship. And they just wanted it to be like a safe place. Mm-hmm. And then like word got out and people started inviting everybody. And
yeah.
Mia, I don't know if you know Mia Fields.
Mm-hmm. Right.
But she's a huge part of starting it. She invited me along with another girl that's a amazing person. Her name is Stacey Wilbur. And she just kept inviting, And
Mia is a bringer.
Like, yes, she is. And I thought it was a little weird at first. Because I was just like, I don't want to go to like this basement where they're like
right worshiping. I've been in that bed.
We had just kind of come out of this weird season where
we kind of
ended up going to a cult.
Oh yeah, they went to
a cult story.
They went to a house church that ended
yeah.
up being like really strange.
Yeah, it was basically a cult.
It was
which
I'm sorry, but
that's
can we pause right
itself.
Here and
we'll
ask,
back up on your story.
I don't mean to interject humor at such an intensely serious point, but if you're an Office watcher, there is a moment in The Office where one of the characters mentions being a part of a cult, and he says, I have been a part of a cult as a leader and also a follower. You make you have fun as a follower,
is
but you make
Creed?
More money as a leader.
Is
yeah.
this Creed?
Uh-huh.
Oh my
uh-huh.
god. I remember
so
that.
So my sincerest apologies that when you said we didn't realize it but we were there, I immediately went to like the still shot of Creed Bratton.
Oh yeah.
And the moment when he confesses he's been a part of a cult. I'm sorry.
No,
this is
no,
your
I
fault
apologize.
And it is amazing. Continue.
No, I feel like I'm just rambling.
Yeah.
Like
my parents
like,
were almost cultish.
They yeah.
made me burn
it
my cabbage patches.
Even...
I'll tell everybody that story one day.
Very like my husband and I now coming there to the belonging when it being is what it is now. Is
yeah.
what I'm trying to say. I remember her telling the story like she fought for a long time making it an
yeah.
actual church.
Yeah.
She's like, I've been burned by the church. I don't want to
mm-hmm.
be a pastor. I don't want to do that to other people. Like.
Yeah.
And just, like, her fear of that.
Yeah. Because, yeah, she had come from that whole, just
mm-hmm.
a huge church culture in Australia.
Yeah.
And, yeah, I think they were just like, no, this is not what this is meant to be. You know,
yeah.
they just
yeah.
were trying to, like, reach out to the people that they knew, but it was just an undeniable call of God on their lives.
Yeah.
And so their basement just exploded. And it was like, yeah, the first night I went, there was probably 15 people, and it was just an acoustic guitar, and Mia and Henry, and then Alex came in. I didn't even know she was, like, a speaker or anything.
Right.
Like, I was just like, oh, you know, she's cute.
And she,
she had these, like, little, her house slippers on, and these ripped jeans and a t-shirt, and I think she had just put the kids to bed or something. And she came downstairs, and I was like, oh, this is cute. Like, it's going to be like a little Bible study. And then she just, like, brought it. Like, she would have thought there was 15,000 people in the room.
Yeah.
And she's like, all right, now we're going to stand up, and we're just going to confess and declare things over our life. Whatever you have need of, we're just going to declare it right now.
Mm-hmm.
And we all got in a circle, and we just started, like, declaring things.
Yeah.
And I was
yeah.
like, what are we doing? And I don't know. It was just, like, there was something about it that
mm-hmm.
my husband and I left that night, and we were just like, I don't know what this is, but we're supposed to be a part of
yeah.
it.
Yeah.
And so we would just come back every single week, and it just, yeah, it grew overnight.
Yeah.
Just word of mouth, and they were eventually like, well, I guess this is a church.
Yeah.
Because people are saying this is our church. So, and now... Yeah, I mean, I probably sat for, like, a year before I actually started leading worship, though, which was really good. I needed that.
Yeah.
And even at our church, like, we're all in rotation, so all the worship leaders are, I lead maybe 3 times a month.
Yeah.
And we just have a handful of leaders, and we're all in rotation, and it's just really freeing, and it's like such an amazing.
Such a fun community, huh?
Yeah, it really does. It feels like family, and there's just this undeniable sense of, like, you really get spirit and truth there. Mm-hmm. I think for me, you know, hearing what I've heard about the belonging, when I walked in, I wasn't expecting to get as much, like, cold, hard truth. But when Alex preached, I was like, wow, this is really, like you have to want to be there. Like, and I was like, wow, like, this is right.
Hey friends, thanks so much for joining us on this podcast with Sarah Reeves. We're going to pause right here. And in our next episode, we're going to pick back up and finish our conversation that we've started. So do not miss it. Sarah was so kind to sit down with us for a while, and we did not want to cut a minute of her wisdom out. So we will catch you guys in the next episode.